Let's pray together today. Today we're going to talk a lot about the heart. So have that in your mind. We're going to speak to your heart, something the Holy Spirit has told us about in his word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for all the children that are here today. And we'll be taught from the word of God about Jesus and salvation and heaven and all those things that you write about from the beginning of the book, the Bible, to the end, the very end, whole counsel of God. Lord, we just pray that you will help us today as we study your word a little bit, that we will understand it, that you'll take away the barriers we have from hearing and open our minds to receive the perfect word of God that you have written to us. Lord, help us to be more like Jesus as a result. In your name I pray, amen. If you stand with me today, we'll read together from God's word, the Bible, and I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19, so 13 verses. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Please have a seat. Thank you for standing. Well, I think the theme of this passage today is a warning from the Holy Spirit about doubting and disbelieving the Word of God because of a hardness of heart. And notice there's no writer of Scripture mentioned as the author of this text that we read that Everett also repeated for us from Psalm 95. It says the Holy Spirit tells us this. God tells us this. Warren Wiersbe once said, the heart of every problem is a problem in the heart. And this passage specifically challenges us to take care of our hearts. The word there in Greek is cardia, and that's where we get the word cardiac in English. So it's, each of us has one of these, don't we? Say this together with me. Bump, 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 bump. Each one of us has that. Mine beats 58 times a minute. It reminds me that it's still there. And it keeps ticking. And usually when we hear the word heart, we think of something physical, don't we? You know, the physical heart. It's not really talking about that. It's talking about the inner part of a person. Your very being is what the heart is about. So we're to take care of our hearts. Another word is to care for our souls. So the whole message today is about heart care and soul care. How do we do that? What does God say is important about that. Well, as we open the book of Hebrews, we saw that Jesus is greater, he's better than the prophets. Jesus is greater or better than the angels. Jesus is greater, better, superior to Moses. And Moses was a great guy, a great, great man for God. We can't underestimate the relationship that Moses had for God. When God spoke, Moses listened. And when Moses spoke, God listened. I mean, it's really, really a unique relationship between Moses and God. We know, too, that the help that is available through Jesus is absolutely greater than any challenge, any trial, or any situation that we might face here on this earth. Jesus Christ is the total answer to every human need. He is absolutely adequate for us. What does it say? Jesus is the way, the truth, and what else? He's the life. We find life. We find ability to live this life through Jesus and Jesus alone. You know, it must have really warmed the believers, the first evangelists who came to Rome, and they shared the gospel with these Roman pagan people. And they certainly had to be amazed that so many Romans turned their lives over to Jesus. They started all these churches that are talked about in Romans chapter 16. That certainly warmed their hearts. But then a little bit later, this great Roman nation, you know, this nation that had wonderful soldiers, you know, that were prepared to fight against these barbarians that would come down from Germany, protect all the people from that. Suddenly, under Nero and some of these other emperors, they turned from fighting those guys to trying to eliminate, extinguish, get rid of, wipe off the face of the earth all the Christians who were living in Rome. And they had this big Colosseum that was a good tool for doing that. So as the Christians became aware of that, it must have taken their breath away. Oh, how can this be happening? How could this nation turn against us when we want to help them? We have the answer. How could this be happening? It would have been easy to have doubts, not to believe what God said. Maybe you're experiencing a similar type of situation in your life. You think, how could this happen? How could God allow this to happen in my life to me? It's easy. It would have been easy for those people just to say, I'm not going to believe what God said because I'm really afraid. And I'm under heavy pressure just to go back and being Jewish, I'm just going to hide and let all this stuff go on. It's in that situation that it's very important for people to guard their hearts, guard their souls, be putting in that heart and soul what they need in order to follow Jesus faithfully. Christine Getty sings a song that reminds us of this. And she says, Good Shepherd of my soul, come dwell within me. That's what it means to be a Christian. Jesus becomes part of us and dwells in us. Take all that I am and mold your likeness in me. Before the cross of Christ, this is my sacrifice, a life laid down and ready to follow. This passage challenges us to follow Jesus. To put in things in our hearts and minds that will enable us to follow him better. So let's look at today at three commands from the Holy Spirit himself about caring for our hearts spiritually, caring for our inner being spiritually, our cardia, the center part of us spiritually for God. First point, first thing that I found is don't harden your heart against God's word. Don't harden your heart against what God's word. Look at verses 7 through 11. This is a quote from the Old Testament. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, always, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This passage is written to believers, people who are following God. This is not written to unbelievers who would be normal to turn away from God. But these are people who believe and now were wondering, is this the right way? Can I really trust God with this stuff? To harden one's heart against God's word means not to listen or obey it. You ever have your kids do that? You know, Dad, I'm not going to listen this time. You know, we did that once in my house. You know, once. Stick your fingers in their ears. Only once. Or maybe it means to willfully be ignorant of what it says. Hey, I don't know what it says, so therefore it's not for me, right? Be willfully ignorant of what it says. Or refuse to trust it. Yeah, but what if? What if I do that and I obey God and he doesn't miraculously help me? You know, what's going to happen then? You know, what are the consequences of this faith in him? But I don't want to trust that. Or to reject the way that God wishes to lead us. And we know what that is. So we said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. It's too painful. It's too much work. It causes me to trust totally in God and not in my own ability to do things. Or not to allow the word of God to really get into our lives and to change us from the inside out. That's what God wants to do. He wants to get his word into our inner being and change us from the inside out. We hear God's word today through the scriptures, through the Bible. And that is what the Holy Spirit wrote for us. He used people to write it, but he directed them to perfectly and wonderfully record exactly what he wanted us to know. The word of God is God's very breath to us. It's inspired. It comes out from God to us, perfect in every way. And when we hear it, we have a decision to make concerning what we hear. And the decision either is to obey it. Yeah, I take that, God. I receive that. Or to disobey. Say, I'm going to walk away from that. I'm not going to listen to that part, God. I like other parts, but I'm not going to listen to that part. So we have to choose to obey or disobey it. Like the Israelites had in the desert continually for 40 years. For 40 years, God spoke to them. And he quotes in that passage, he talks about, you know, being angry at God for not providing water for them at the beginning of their journey. And then at the end of the journey, you know, making the decision about not going into the promised land. Those were two major decisions, but it really indicates that this disobedience to God was for 40 long years. Every day, God gave them manna to eat. Every day, their clothes and their shoes did not wear out. Every day, they saw what during the day and what during the night to lead them. A pillar of cloud, a cloud of pillar, and at night, what, a cloud of fire, a pillar of fire. So every day, God spoke to them, and they chose, hey, we're not going to get too big, God. You can't go into to promised land and kill these people or take over their property. That's, you know, there's giants there. And we're just not able to do that. So the author quoted Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11, to remind us of what happened to these Jews. There were consequences for disbelief. They did not enter into God's rest. And the question is, what does rest mean? Does it mean salvation? Does it mean heaven? It means God's finger on their life every day. You know, when they would go into the promised land, they would have wonderful things that they would never receive otherwise. So they didn't get that. They didn't get it. They always had this wilderness experience in their life, and that's where they stayed, in the wilderness, away from God, all the things that God wanted to bless them with. And instead of God's blessing, every one of those people died in the desert, except for two, and did not experience the wonderful blessings that God had planned for them. Just like there are consequences for us when we ignore God's will and purpose, or we ignore God's will for us on purpose. And God was angry with them and judged them. So will God be angry with us if we ignore his word? Today, what wonderful things does God have planned for you and for me if we obey the Bible, if we obey what God says? Of course, salvation, that's part of it. But in everyday life, what are some of the things that we receive when we accept God's word, when we put God's word into our heart? Here's some of the things that I've listed, but surely you can think of some other things too. The peace of God is one thing. We have peace with God when we believe, but every day we have the peace of God in our lives. Peace of God, refreshment. He refreshes us with the Bible. Joy, unexplained happiness, not based upon circumstances. Joy that's on the inside. Confidence, and that's one of the key words in the book of Hebrews, is confidence in putting our trust and our lives in God's hands. Fruitfulness, seeing other people come to know Jesus because they see an obedient guy or obedient gal. Fruitfulness. Endless blessings from God that we can't really number. Effectiveness. Not only that we're Christians, but we're also effective in wherever God calls us. He just somehow blesses us and helps us with all those things. He gives us wisdom in order to know what's good and what's bad and how to live in a world that is not full of wise people. Maybe wise guys and wise gals, but not really wisdom from God. And resources and to resolve otherwise unresolvable things, unresolvable by this way of the world looks at us. And it's God's finger on and in our lives. I really like Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, who says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your what? Your hearts and your what? And your mind in Christ Jesus." Christine Getty's song continues. This is what she writes: "The troubled find their peace in true surrender," allowing the word of God to get into us, in true surrender. "The prisoners, their release from chains of anger. In springs of living grace, I find a resting place to rise refreshed, determined to do what? Follow. Determined to follow. So that's the first command from the Holy Spirit about caring for our hearts spiritually, not to have a sinful, unbelieving heart in reference to God's word. It was not to have your heart hardened against God's word. The second command is not to have a sinful, unbelieving heart in reference to God's word. Look at verses 12 through 13. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart and turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. To have a sinful heart as a believer means to have a wicked or evil heart. You know, an unbelieving heart does not believe what God says. That's evil, because God says what we have in the Bible. And we say, well, the Bible is not right, it's not true, then what that means it's evil, what our opinions are. A heart that is that way rejects truth. It's like knowing what it says in our heads, but not letting it get to our hearts, to our inner being, and really change our opinions and the way we act. The Holy Spirit is saying to all who hear God's word, respond to God while your heart is warm and soft to God's word, while your heart is still sensitive. That's when you want to respond to God. You know, each time a person rejects God's word, it causes his heart to become harder and harder against the things of God. And when we do that, we are actually turning our back on the living God. It's like turning away from very life itself. God is life. Jesus said what? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so when we turn away from what God says, we're turning away from life. Life itself. Where the text talks about becoming apostates. The Word of God can cure us from falling away from what God says in the Word of God. And one thing he talks about in this text is to encourage one another often. And the word there for encourage the noun is paraclete. Anybody ever heard the word paraclete before? Paraclete is a title for the Holy Spirit. It's the one who comes alongside us. He encourages us. And that's what we're supposed to do with each other, is to get alongside that person, get alongside of each other all the time, and encourage each other. Why? Because sin is deceitful. It's tricky. It's deceitful. Recognize that these spiritual dangers exist out there and act accordingly to what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4 continues on and says this in verses 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, the Bible's true, right? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, the Bible is noble, right? Whatever is right, the Bible is right. Whatever is pure, the Bible is pure. Whatever is lovely, the Bible is lovely. Whatever is admirable, the Bible is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of what will be with you? The God of peace will be with you. Hard issue, isn't it? Peace. Peace of God that we need. So In these verses, the writer of Hebrews goes back to the wilderness experience of the Israelites and applies that wilderness situation to the believers in the first century who were having their own wilderness experience, saying, God, what the Roman government is doing right now is too big. We want to go back. We want to go back to where we were before with the Jews, you know, the safe place. You know, but it also steps on our toes too, doesn't it? We're to have a clean, sincere, believing heart that responds to God's word, it listens, it responds, it reacts to the word of God. Christine Getty continues in her beautiful song, I walk this narrow road with Christ before me, where thorns and thistles grow and cords ensnare me. Though doubted and denied, he never leaves my side, but lifts my head and calls me to follow, calls me to be like Jesus, calls my heart to respond to God's word. So we've seen two commands already from the Holy Spirit himself concerning caring for our hearts and our souls spiritually. Don't harden your heart against God's word. Don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart in reference to God's word. And thirdly, positively, have a firm, confident heart in relation to God's word. Look at verses 14 through 19. Hebrews 3. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. We should never forget about this wonderful share inheritance that we have in Christ. In this life, it's practical for us today. The blessings we receive from God today, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things that are talked about in Galatians chapter 5. Those are wonderful treasures for us today, the consequences of believing in Jesus, but also in the life to come, where Christians will rule with Christ. You know, some of these Romans were really, really tempted to turn away. They hardened their hearts against God's word. And as a result of that, if they did that, they would miss out on God's blessings in this life. Just like almost the entire generation that left Egypt, only two men escaped God's judgment and entered the promised land. What was their secret? What was the secret that Joshua and Caleb had? How did they do that? How would everybody else, all their classmates, you know, everybody they went to school with, everybody they grew up with, rebelled against God? How did these two men not rebel against God? Their secret was easy. Belief, trust in the God of the Scriptures. Belief and trust. And feeding that belief and that trust with God's word. Joshua and Caleb had a firm, confident heart in relation to God's word. And he listened to God. And it's recorded for us what God told him to do so that his heart would be right with God and be able to take on all these challenges that they would have. Unbelievable challenges that they would face in getting the promised land. It's recorded for us in Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. It says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." It's something you'll be talking about all the time. All the time. Don't let it depart from your mouth. "Meditate on it day and night." Be thinking about the Word of God. "Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything written in it." So it's not just something you're supposed to meditate on, you know, go on top of a mountain someplace and be a monk. You know, just got to meditate there and hum songs and those kind of things. But it's supposed to be practical for your life. Do everything that's in it. "Then you will be prosperous and successful." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Joshua heard that, and he obeyed what God said. And God empowered him all the rest of his life. All of his life, really, even before then. God empowered him to follow and do what God said. And that's what we should be doing, too, as Christians. Wow, we got this. We got all the scrolls. You know, everything the prophets talked about, everything the apostles gave to us, all in this nice little book that we can carry in our back pocket if we want to. But if you were, you know, living in the first century, it would be impossible to carry all this around with you. We have it with us. We can have it all the time. God has great blessings prepared for us as believers. And he wants to pour them out on us in this life and in the life to come. And we're talking about spiritual blessings here. The issue, though, is belief, trust, obedience to God's word, having a firm, confident heart in relation to God's word, the Bible. Christine Getty concludes her song with the words, "And when my days are gone, my strength is failing, he'll," that means Jesus, "carry me along through death's unveiling, earth's struggles overcome, heaven's journey's just begun, to search Christ's depths and ever, ever to follow." As we close today, I have four questions for us as we think about this verse, you know, hook, book, look, talk, trying to now apply some of the stuff that we looked at today to our lives. So, first question, how you doing? Are you feeding your heart spiritually? Are you feeding it? You got to do that. You know, the best target for Satan is a Christian says, "Yeah, I believed in Jesus as my Savior, but they stay away from this book." Are you feeding your life spiritually with God's word? Are you caring for your soul? Your soul is a precious thing. That's who you are. Are you caring for that? Thirdly, do you have a firm confidence in God's word? Are you sure that God is going to bless your life if you step out for him and you do something that you're afraid about doing? And know that the consequences are not as bad as the consequences of not obeying what God tells us to do. You have a firm confidence in God's word. And finally, are you trusting Christ with any challenge that you're facing in this life? Jesus is absolutely what we need for every situation. Every situation. You can trust and depend upon him for his good help. Let's pray together as we close. Father, we do thank you for this day of life that you've given to us. Help us not to have a wilderness experience in our lives as we follow you, but help us to live bountiful lives, lives that are focused on the Word of God, focused on applying, responding, obeying to what you teach us in wonderful ways. Lord, we just pray that you will help us to be followers of Jesus and not harden our hearts against you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.